If you can turn with me to John 20, 21 through 23. The word of God says, "The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated his greeting, 'Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you.' Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. 'Receive the Holy Spirit,' he said. 'If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I think we've established the atmosphere of Pentecost. We see all the red, and I love red. It's like my favorite color. So I had to take this opportunity to make sure that I wore red. But red for us, as we look at Pentecost season, is a symbol of joy and the fire of the Holy Spirit. As I think of liturgical colors, we've seen the sanctuary be different colors. Red is a color that we only see once. And we think of red as the blood of Jesus, but it's also, today we're looking at it as the fire from Pentecost Sunday. The English word Pentecost comes from the ancient Christian expression, which means 50th day. 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his followers, thus empowering them for their mission and gathering them to the church together. However, before the day of Pentecost took place, Jesus appeared to the disciples, as we have read in John 20, 21 through 23. Just before his ascension. And this is a time that I would like to call the pre-Pentecost. It was during this time that Jesus empowers the disciples with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, "Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. 'Receive the Holy Spirit,' he said. 'If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?'" So first, Jesus says, breathe. Then he tells them to receive. Then thirdly, he says to forgive. Breathe, receive, forgive. Breathe, receive, forgive. There's something to that sequence, wouldn't you agree? Breathe, receive, forgive. Last week, I had to go for a physical to prepare for my pastoral care training this summer. The test that I took required for me to put on this helmet and mask-looking device, and then the nurse squirted this liquid into between the mask and the helmet that I had on my head. And she told me to inhale and to breathe in. And if I could taste whatever she squirted into the helmet, then that meant the barrier was not working. So the helmet was to protect me, I guess, when I go into the hospitals from whatever ailment a person may have. So if I could taste the sweetness, she said that then it's not on correctly. And so this is something that I'm going to have to do on a regular. So I had to inhale and breathe and tell her whether or not I tasted it. And I didn't taste it, so I'll know how to do it, and I'll be safe. Something else that happened when you inhale and breathe is just something mechanical to that inhale. Everybody inhale and exhale. It's just something natural that we thank God for that ability. However, there's something else that happens that I don't like. How many of you hate when something covers your face, like somebody comes and put a pillow over your face? It restricts your breathing, right? That's just something you don't like to happen. Or the cover at night. I know my husband likes to have a cover on his face. I can't stand that. It blocks your breathing. There's something to that breath. In both of these examples, there's something to the breathing There's something that you have to receive. So yes, breathing and receiving must work together. One commentary that I read explained the disciples' experience as such. At this moment, they became new creations. Each passed out of their old creation into the new creation, through in which they in-breathe the breath of God. In Genesis 2 and 7, it says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The first creation of man took place as God breathed the spirit of life into that figure. The in-breathed breath of God, the Holy Spirit, transformed that figure into a new creation. So we find that our disciples have received the Holy Spirit at that moment before Pentecost. And we know that as we look back into Genesis, the Holy Spirit was present and is always present with us. If we look at the word receive, receive is a verb that means to come into possession of. Did the disciples realize what had been breathed into them? Did they receive or take possession of the Holy Spirit at that moment? In the scriptures following, there are several accounts of Jesus with the disciples in which you can see that they didn't realize the impartation that had taken place at that moment. From Thomas needing to put his finger in Jesus' side to Simon Peter asking, "Jesus, do you love me?" three times. He asked it three times. Scripture says it took many times for Jesus to appear to them, along with many proofs, before he ascended. He then told the disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Much like the disciples, I think it takes for us many of those same proofs. Even though we have the Bible telling us stories after stories of God's faithfulness and truth, it still takes a minute for us to receive what God has already given to us. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to lead and guide us into the truth, it still takes a little proof. We still have that same little doubt. The disciples could have received and taken possession of the Holy Spirit right at that moment, but they needed more proof. How many times do you all find yourselves just needing just a little more proof? And guess what? Jesus knew, which is why he continued to allow them to see the things manifest before he ascended. He was still teaching them because he knew that they needed just a little more proof. How often do we allow circumstances to block the Holy Spirit in our lives? Kind of similar to the blockage of the cover, blocking your breath. We too often need to read one more miracle and believe the truth that we see before us. Currently with my prayer group, I'm reading a book called Kingdom Disciples by Tony Evans. In it, he is speaking to how so many Christians are trying to live the Christian life, but it isn't working. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13 that because we are in Christ, we are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. He says that it is only God working in us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can produce lasting growth and change in our lives. Today, as Christian disciples, we must realize that each of us working together in this community it takes each of us working together in this community to bring forth social change. It takes each of us working together in this community to go out and visit the sick. It takes each of us to pray together. It takes all of us to do the work that God has already empowered in us through the Holy Spirit. Once again, I'm going to ask to inhale if you are able. Exhale if you are able. receive that life that comes through the Holy Spirit. This week, as I was preparing for today, I was sitting and my daughter was watching the movie Trolls. And I looked up and heard one of the characters say, "Do you think that I can be happy?" And the girl replies, "Yes, inside of you. It's in all of us. Do you think you can inhabit the Holy Spirit? I'm asking you, is the Holy Spirit within you?" Yes, the Holy Spirit is in all of us. It's in all of us, and we just can't think it, but we also must feel the Holy Spirit, which is why Pentecost today is so important. It gives us the opportunity to feel the presence of God and to know that the presence of God is with us. And I was going to sing Justin Bieber's song, but I'm going to leave singing to Pastor Julie. I got that sunshine in my pocket, because you got to just have that feeling, and knowing that feeling is down within you, that the Holy Spirit is in you to lead you and to guide you into all newness. And that's what Pentecost is all about.
Amen. We're tag teaming this on today. Feel it. Have you ever felt someone's breath on you? Now, that can go two ways, depending on if they done brushed their teeth or used some mouthwash. But let's just say, have you ever felt a breath of fresh air? To feel it. In John 20 and 22, as Erica pointed out, we find Jesus, after he had been crucified, after he was wounded for our transgressions, after he was bruised for our iniquity, we find a risen Savior. He revealed himself to Mary and then to the disciples. During this encounter with the disciples, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them. Say, on them. On them, on them. He breathed on them. It's one thing to have something on the outside, but it's another to have it on the inside. Let's be honest, you guys. We're very good at dealing with the outside. We often dress up the outside quite nicely. We create nice, beautiful packaging for our products that we offer. We place filter on top of filter on our photos on Instagram and Facebook. We often dress our best when we feel our worst, y'all. But even society is good, is really good at dealing with the outside. We often deal with the results of an issue rather than the root of an issue. We judge others by their appearance and or their skin color. And we apply stereotypes based on the outside. And sometimes it leads some people to call the police, even if they just studying or if they're having a barbecue in the park. We're real good at dealing with the outside. We deal so much on what is on us rather than what is within. In John, Jesus breathed on the disciples and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, they were filled. On that day, when they were separated from all distractions and they were on one accord in prayer, the Holy Spirit went deeper than the surface, and the results are talked about to this day, to this moment, right here at University Church. Why did the story not end with the Holy Spirit being breathed on the disciples? It's because they needed the Holy Spirit on the inside. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, correct us, keep us, but it's not just about us. Say, it's not about us. It's not about us. There's a key piece of scripture in this passage that always stands out to me. And so let's take a second to look at the story of Pentecost found in Acts 2, verses 1 through 6. The Word of God says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. The key verse to me is verse 6. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. We often ask the question, can you hear me now? But I want to tell you, if you want people to hear you now, you have to make sure that you're speaking their language. Many people are not being reached. Why? Because we're not speaking their language. Yeah, we could get deep and focus on, I don't speak Spanish, French, Korean, African dialects, so much more, or even in spiritual tongues. But there is more to language than that. Our definition of language has evolved over centuries. We go from concepts of body language all the way to the five love languages. Our concept of language is different, but what I want to talk about today is the language of your testimony. What has God done for you? Has God done anything for anyone in this room? If so, you ought to say thank you. Has God ever brought you out of a difficult situation? If so, you ought to say thank you. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you say, didn't nobody do this but God? I know that's horrible grammar, but that's the best way I can put it half the time. Everybody, most people have had these experiences, so we have testimonies, and the language of a testimony is important for having a Pentecost experience. Yes, I said a Pentecost experience, because you can experience Pentecost as often as you need. The Holy Spirit, as Erica pointed out, was here at the beginning, it's here now, and it will be here in the future. We can be filled as often as we need. If you don't believe me, let's go past Acts chapter 2. If you read after chapter 2, after Pentecost, you will see Peter and John come across a lame beggar. Peter heals the lame beggar, and the people were amazed, but oh, them Sadducees and them Pharisees were heated. Oh, yeah, sing it, Kathy. They was mad. They were upset and disturbed because the apostles were teaching and testifying about the resurrection of Jesus. What did they do? They locked them up. They put Peter and John in jail, and they eventually had their day in court. And I love Peter. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, even in court, kept testifying that it was by the name of Jesus that this formerly lame beggar who actually walked into court that day on his own was healed. The leaders that Peter and John stood against, these Sadducees and Pharisees, warned them not to speak in the name of Jesus again because they didn't want the message, the testimony, to spread. But Peter, bold Peter, refused and said they cannot help but to testify about what they have seen and heard. Someone in this room right now, when you think of all that God has done for you, you should have that I can't help but testify moment. You should have that I can't help but testify about the things I have seen God do and the things that I have heard my God has done. Has God done any amazing things for anybody in this room? Let's get back to the story. After telling the rulers, I can't help it, the rulers then threatened them more, but they eventually let them go. They figured they couldn't punish them because all of the people were still praising God because of the miracle that had been performed. But after their release, this is where it gets interesting, Peter and John went back to their own people, the believers in Christ, and reported what those rulers had said to them. And in that moment, they didn't say, oh, we're going to go and we're going to knock them upside the head. No, they didn't do that. They got on one accord in prayer. And even in that prayer, they started it by testifying of who God is. They said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And then they went on to testify about what their enemy had done to Jesus. And then they realized the connection and said, God, we have the same enemy. What they tried to do to you, they're trying to do to us. But then they went on and asked them for help. They asked God for help in their situation. And they asked for them to be able to speak God's word with great boldness. Then in Acts 4 and 31, it says that the place where they were meeting after they had prayed, it was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. But I thought they were already filled back in chapter 2. But in chapter 4, verse 31, it says that they were filled again. So what that says to me is that we can continuously be filled so that we can continuously testify to the goodness of Jesus. Yes, you can testify once you are filled time and time again. Y'all, the language of our testimony is important in order to have a Pentecost experience. Pentecost is not only being filled with the Holy Spirit for you, but it is also so that others can be impacted, so that the kingdom can be added to daily. We must testify of the resurrection of Jesus and begin to speak in a language so that others will understand. You must testify about the resurrection of Jesus and what that has done for you. Because Jesus has risen, what have you risen out of in your life? Because Jesus did it then, what has the Holy Spirit empowered you to do now? Because Jesus had victory over the grave on Calvary, what victories have you experienced in your life today? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Someone is waiting on your testimony. Someone is waiting for you to use a language to speak, for you to use your tongue to speak a language that they understand. Someone, you guys, only understands the language of sickness, and they need your testimony to know that God is a healer. Someone in this world only understands the language of abuse, drug abuse, physical abuse, all types of abuses, and they need your testimony to know that God is a deliverer. Someone only understands the language of depression and suicide, but they need your testimony to know that God is a mind regulator. I guarantee you that there is someone out there that speaks the language that you can speak. People of God, this world needs more Pentecost. This world needs more of the Holy Spirit, more of the true love of God. We must be like the apostles. We must take time to come together and pray and ask for God to give us boldness to testify about Jesus and the miracles that we've experienced in our lives. We must take the time to say, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth. God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. Lord, you are our Savior. You are our deliverer. You are our healer. All power is in your hands. And yes, you are a way maker. And even though they conspired against you, Jesus, and put you in the grave, you defeated the grave. And because you defeated the grave, like the song says, because you live, I can face tomorrow. But yeah, newsflash, I need it today. Jesus, because you live, I can face today, because there's so much that is going on at this day and time. We've counted all the things that have happened just this week. We need the Holy Spirit right now. God, so fill us with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us and let us testify boldly of the God that we serve, for you have opened doors and you have made way. So God, fill us and remove doubt. Fill us and remove fear. God, breathe on us and fill us so that we can walk right, so that we can talk right, so that we can live right, so that we can give right, so that we can speak to the marginalized and give them hope, so that we can speak justice into corruption. God, give us your spirit so that we can have a testimony, so that we can share our testimony to the others around this world that need it. So God, give us your spirit so that we can speak comfort, peace, joy, love, deliverance, and hope. God, breathe on us and fill us. God, give us your spirit so that we can testify so that others may get to know you. Everyone in this room has a testimony. I'm going to get off this paper. iPad. Everyone in this room has a testimony. And you never know whom is waiting to hear it. Just like the people that were bewildered, they were in bewilderment because they heard someone speaking their own language. There is somebody that is waiting on you right now because of the experiences that you have had so that they can have life spoken into their situation so that they know that they can make it. And I'm going to be a little transparent, and I'm sorry to even possibly catch someone by surprise, But just as a testimony to where I've been here at University Church, there's so many testimonies of things that have happened and that I can take with me and just of this community. But there's one thing in particular to show you the power of a testimony. And this testimony wasn't even told to me directly from the people that experienced it. But someone took their testimony and shared it with me to encourage me. This is University Church for me, you guys. So one day I was just down. Many people do not know that I had a daughter, a six-year-old, and she passed almost a couple of years ago. And I was broken. And I was talking to somebody here at University Church, and they told me the story about Diane and her husband. And when I heard their story, and yet when I see them, and every time I see them, they have a smile on their face, and they embrace each other and everybody else with love. That showed to me that I can make it, that I can have the strength because they serve the same God that I serve. All of this goes to be shown that you never know who needs your testimony. My cousin that's here is a survivor of cancer. She is a survivor of cancer. For anybody that's dealing with it, she speaks a language that you might understand. So whatever your testimony is, people of God, tell your testimony. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give you strength, to fill you, to rain on you, so that you can tell your testimony. Because someone in this building, in this community, in this world needs to know the language and hear the language that you are speaking. Someone needs your testimony. So God, breathe on us, fill us with your Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.